Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Heather here along with Brittany.
Hello.
So today we are talking all about family photos, which are kind of the bane of my existence.
Dun, dun, dun.
One of those things I'm happy we have, and I'm glad we do it, but God, I dread it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Namely, just finding something to wear for myself. I always wait to the last minute. It's never exactly what I feel comfortable in. I'm not good at it.
Well, and then there's the wrangling of the children, the inevitable bribe. Tina's going to walk us through all of these problems. She is a photographer. She's a photographer in the greater Sacramento area who focuses on weddings, elopements, newborns, and family sessions. And she's going to hold our hand through all of this stress. And we also talk a little bit about how some of her personality relates to her as a photographer and how to like find a good fit for you. So I think that was really interesting too.
She's really, really great. But before we get to that interview, quick reminder to get your Okayest Mom moments in. If you want them shared on a podcast episode, you can either submit them in writing to okayestmoms.com/OMM, or you can call and leave a voice message at 916-778-0545. If you want to hear your voice in the podcast, that'll be super fun, right? And specifically, if you have holiday stories, Santa, anything, holidays coming up, let us know.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Tina. As moms, we know you have a million things swirling around your head at any given time, probably coming to mind at 4 a.m. Anybody else? The more things we can automate and not have to worry about, the better, which is why we partnered with Hiya Health.
Hiya is a daily children's multivitamin that arrives fresh with a 30-day supply and a refillable glass bottle your kids can decorate and personalize. After that, you'll receive a no-plastic refill pouch sent monthly to your doorstep.
Hiya isn't your typical candy-like vitamin either. It contains no added sugar, but still has 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to support immunity, growth, and development. It's also dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan, and made here in the USA.
For a limited time, your first order is just $15, and shipping is free. To get this deal, go to okayestmoms.com/Hiya. That's okayestmoms.com/HIYA. Hey, everybody. We are back with our guest. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into photography?
Yeah, so I'm a lifestyle, family, and wedding photographer serving the greater Sacramento area. And I've been doing photography for 15 years now. And the way I got into it was I was a student assistant for the state of California back when I was in college, and I shared a cubicle with a lady who, she was a contractor, and she happened to see a picture I was like playing with in a Photoshop class I was going to at City College at the time. And then she just was like, hey, do you want to learn? She's like, I have this other side business as a wedding photographer. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Cool.
And so, yeah. So she just taught me the basics. I took a couple of classes at City College, and then like the rest is pretty much history.
That's really cool. Cause I feel like photography, at least for me, it's really daunting. I feel like it's easy, but the scope of knowledge is so big that you don't really know where to start. So to have somebody sit there and hold your hand to tell you like do this probably makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Having her just like give me the basics, the rundown, it was so great. And you're right, like the scope is massive and I don't know everything about it. I mean, there are techniques, like specifically like special lighting techniques that it's just completely out of my wheelhouse. And so that's just not even something that I offer because I don't know how to do it.
So Tina, when I was poking around on your website, I saw that you had described yourself and your photography style and how you described yourself as a highly sensitive person and how that intertwined with your photography style, which I thought was so unique to one, like be that in touch with yourself, to be able to label yourself that way and to own it and to then explain to others how that made you stand out. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that means and what that brings to your photography?
Okay, so first off, I have to say I'm not an expert in highly sensitive people or HSPs as they're often referred to, but HSP is the acronym for it. And I was listening to, I mentioned on my website, and I won't, you know, regurgitate all that here because people can go read it if they want. But I was listening to a podcast and I heard the term used and I was like, that sounds like me. And so oftentimes HSPs are referred to as quote unquote too sensitive, which I've definitely been called. And what it is people, it's a personality trait and the way you experience emotions, stimuli, whether it's like physical, emotional, social, you just experience those things way more intensely than other people. And for me, where I really connected the dots, or one, being called too sensitive, and then two, I will cry at complete strangers, like elopement films. And that's how I say on my website too. That's how I knew I wanted the videographer that we hired, because I was watching all of his films and they're the complete strangers. And I'm just crying at their elopement films. Like, who does that? So even like movies, like if it's something super, like, so we live in West Sacramento and the West Sac Fire does a big Santa run truck every year. And I always make sure I'm home that night of the week so I can watch it go by. And I just get super choked up and I cry. So it's just, it's so silly, but you know, you just experience things more intensely. So, and I think that, and also too, a couple of years ago, I had an epiphany with coming home from a newborn session, where I was like, oh, I like doing in-home sessions. And so, you know, being able to like connect with my clients in their home and kind of pick up on how they're feeling and just, you know, understanding what they're experiencing on the other side of the lens, I think helps me guide the session, guide them, give them direction, just in case it gets a little awkward. You know, sometimes I can tell with dads, you know, dads are not a huge fan of family photos. And so I think being able to really just pick up on what they're experiencing and being able to adjust how I'm approaching or adjust the instructions I'm giving them, I think just helps make the experience better overall for them and for me, because I think I border on being an empath too. So if people are feeling super awkward and weird around me, I feel that for them too. And I'm like, God, that's awful. Like, how can we make this better for everybody all around? Cause I don't want to feel this way anymore. I feel like it just helps me make connections with my clients too, which, you know, with something like a wedding, you know, I don't want to be a complete stranger on your wedding day. So I try my best to, connect with people. I shot a wedding yesterday and I was in their space, you know, for some of the shots. And I always try to meet with my clients beforehand to, you know, get to know them and just have like a little bit of FaceTime. And that's been challenging in the pandemic too, right? So trying to meet outdoors and not go indoors. And I'm like, I just want you to see my face without a mask on and get to know me before I have to be in your space on your wedding day.
I think that makes so much sense because to get good photos, you need people to feel comfortable. And if they're not, I mean, to be able to recognize when people are and aren't comfortable, I think is an important skill for a photographer that I never really thought about until you explained it that way. And thinking back, we've definitely had photographers that we've been more comfortable with than others and vice versa. And you can tell.
And I've even, you know, I've traded sessions with other photographers and I can tell the difference between the ones who are just there to like get the job done. And they're like, okay, let's go snap, 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 like onto the next thing without you know, and it's not a dig to them at all. I mean, because they're getting the job done in the end, right? But the ones that like ask personal questions and really get to know you, and that's what I do too. I just feel like it just adds a little something extra. It takes the edge off, and it just, I think, makes for a more relaxed environment, because a lot of people do not like having their picture taken. And, you know, I get it. Like, it's, you know, I mean, even for me, like you're all of the things that you're insecure about are being, you're having a picture taken of that. And, you know, to not feel all those insecurities in that moment is, it's hard. And so I think when you can like bring the wall down a little bit and have people open up and be comfortable, that's where I think you're going to get the most authentic smiles, reactions, and just, you can just have fun. And then we'll take pictures of that, not of, you know, you feeling super insecure, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So cameras seem to be on everything, like literally everything these days. My daughter just got a LOL smartwatch, which is like the dumbest toy known to man, and that has a camera on it. So like everything. And it seems that there's not a shortage of millennial mothers with DSLR cameras starting their own photography businesses. So I guess with that being everywhere, how do you find a photographer that's the right fit? I mean, like, there's so many of them. And like, what is the point of even paying for photos if I can just take it on my iPhone?
Right. Yeah. So here's the deal with the iPhones. They can simulate the effects that DSLRs can create with, which it's the lens, right? That's going to give you that really nice depth of field where you guys are popping off the backdrop and you're nice and sharp. And, you know, the iPhones, and I guess there's other smartphones that could have fancy cameras on them too, they can simulate that effect, but it's not the real deal. So if you kind of zoom in, you can see like where it kind of missed the focus, like with portrait mode, for example, you can kind of see where it's not perfect. And the reality is, if you blow that picture up and put it on a huge canvas in your living room, you're going to see that. So, I mean, that first and foremost, that right there, I think I would deter clients from going that route with an iPhone or a fancy smartphone that has a camera on it. But also, yes, like the market is completely saturated. And I often talk about this in my post. And I think initially, like when I first started out, I'd be like, oh, you're a photographer. Okay. And it was like, you know, it was the compare game. But as I've gotten older, and as I've just, you know, educated myself and read more up on it, or just read more photographer stories, the reality is there's more than enough out there, more than enough business out there for everyone. So with that being said, I think clients have a wide range of photographers that they can choose from. And so I think the most important part is like editing and style. I think you need to find a photographer whose editing style you like, because I've had people come to me before and say, oh, I'm looking for this light and airy. And like, did you even look at my website? Like, that's not how I edit. Or I had another inquiry last week too, where she wanted these warm, earthy tones. And she said she had a mood board put together. And it was like, she was like an art. The way it felt to me was that she was like an art director coming to me and saying, hey, I need you to do this job for me, as opposed to, hey, I really like your style. I like your vibe. I like the way you know, you're about me on your website, and I'm connecting with you, and I want to invite you into my home to do these newborn photos. I didn't get that vibe from her at all. And so I think that if clients just, you know, think about, one, first and foremost is the editing style, because photographers are not going to change their editing style for you. And if they are willing to change their editing style for you, chances are you're not going to like it, because that's not their specialty. So they're just trying to like appease something you're looking for, as opposed to it just being like a natural fit, I think, from the start. So again, like, and then also too, you know, the about me section, you know, read up on what photographers are saying about themselves on their website, look at their social media, read their captions on what they're posting, because that's where you're going to find like, do we align, you know, just as people. And I know nowadays too, a lot more businesses, you know, you can gain and lose clientele based on, you know, your social stances and your political stances and things like that. And so, you know, as a business owner, I'm wanting to hone in like my clientele. And so I'll pull the veil down a little bit and show more of who I am so that I can really narrow down the people that I'm inviting to come approach me for business, right? So I think that if those things are important to you, you know, social, political issues, see what photographers are posting, read the captions, look at their stories, look at their highlight reels, and see if there's an alignment there for you. I think that, you know, like I said, the market is saturated, but I think what that does is it opens up more of an opportunity for clients to find somebody that they really fit with. And I mean, personally, and this is just maybe just my OCD, I would want to hire somebody, or even if I worked with like multiple photographers, similar editing styles, because I'm thinking when I print these pictures and I put them up on my wall, I don't want it to be like a hodgepodge of editing styles. I would like there to be kind of, you know, not complete uniformity look to everything, but I just want the photos to go well when they're printed and put next to each other. So, you know, I think, I don't know that everybody always thinks about that. I think a lot of people are looking at the cost, and, you know, that I think for a lot of people, you'll get sticker shock on it. But I think if you factor in the amount of time that a photographer spends emailing with you ahead of time, talking about outfits, and then the amount of time that they spend editing your pictures, if you take that total rate you paid and then come up with an hourly rate plus the value of the images that you get at the end, I think that cost that you're seeing up front, it's not as dramatic or it's not as shocking. And so, you know, I think that, again, just getting to, you know, looking at the editing style and the photographer's vibe and then going from there. And then, you know, I guess to budget to a certain extent, you know, are you within, you know, what I have available to spend on this thing that I want?
Yeah, I love what you said about finding your people, and like, people need to do the research about who you are as a person and what you stand for. And it's kind of like that in all creative businesses, right? Like even with Heather and I, and motherhood, we have done that a lot this past year, and it's been uncomfortable at some point. But like, if you are here and you don't like us, like our brand is us, you don't, you know, you're not our people, and that's okay. Like, I feel like there's a parallel there.
Yeah, I feel like one of the things that I've learned with age too, and I say this on my website, I may not be for you and you may not be for me, and that's okay. Like, we don't have to bend and shrink ourselves to fit in the spaces of other people. I think ideally what we're doing is finding people that it's a natural fit and we can go from there. And when you, again, with photography, when you have so many options, that should be fairly easy for clients to achieve.
Well, especially when you're doing something like a newborn shoot, if you're doing a newborn shoot for a same-sex couple, of course you want them to be comfortable. And I think that would, I'm not explaining this well, but.
No, yeah, I think you would want to know that your photographer respects
that. Right, exactly. I think that would definitely, if you feel very strongly convicted against that union, that's going to show in your pictures, I think. I think you'll be in and out of there in a snap, and you wouldn't get, because they're not going to be comfortable either. So.
Yeah. And even with COVID going on right now and newborn sessions, you know, I disclose my vaccination status up front. I am fully vaccinated. I will wear a KN95 mask during your session. It will not come off unless, I mean, there have been times where I've just pulled it down briefly to take a sip of water. Because
no.
If you've ever done a newborn session, it's hot. I tell my clients, they turn your AC off, or like, turn the heater up in the winter, in the summer, turn the AC off. Cause if I'm not sweating while I'm doing that job, it's not warm enough for the baby. And so, you know, again, so I may pull down for a sip of water, but for the most part, that mask is on for the duration. I'll greet them at the door without it on, just so you can be like, hey, here's my face. Aww. This is the other half that you're not going to see for the next 3 hours. But, you know, I had a newborn client recently, and, she was in Roseville, Placer County, and she had reached out to me and asked about, you know, all those things. What are your precautions? And I'm completely upfront. So she told me at the end of the session, she made it a point to say, hey, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I'm really, she's like, I know we've been lax with our masks here, but I appreciate that you've kept it on. I appreciate that you disclosed your vaccination status, because I reached out to another photographer, and when I asked her about her vaccination status, she told me that she doesn't share her private medical information. And then when I asked, and then when she asked if she would wear a mask for the duration of the session, she said she couldn't wear a mask because of health reasons. And, you know, it's just, you know, babies' immune systems are non-existent, basically, right? And so even before the pandemic, I would make sure I'm sanitizing my hands before wrapping the baby for a shot, because you need to be careful. Like, you could be introducing anything. And with COVID, I mean, I don't specifically know a lot about COVID rates in newborns, but I don't want to risk it. And that, because I don't know, I don't want to risk it. And so, you know, things like that. I actually have another photographer that reached out to me about doing a newborn session for her too. And her husband is very weary about having somebody come into the home for a newborn session. But I've been very upfront with her and, you know, told her all of my precautions. And so I think they're going to talk to their doctor at their next check-in to kind of, you know, talk about the risks. And, you know, I guess I'm thinking what they'll do is share with their doctor what I've shared with them. And then maybe their doctor would give them some guidance on, you know, whether or not this is safe to proceed. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's crazy. And I think personally too, for me, business sense, it makes sense to be vaccinated and to do all these things, right? Because I don't want to lose out on that business. But ultimately, I think it's about like protecting people too. Like, you're inviting me into your home. This is your safe space. And I want to respect that.
Yeah, I definitely respect that. This is a tangent. I recently was looking for a house cleaner and I had somebody come over. And she had her mask in her hand and she's like, "Are you okay if I don't wear a mask?" I'm like, "Well, I'm vaccinated. If you're comfortable." And she wasn't. And I'm like, "I would rather you wear a mask." It was like a weird, like, we didn't hire her, obviously. But then on the flip side, we had exterminators come and right up front, we're both vaccinated, you know, we're taking all the precautions. But I don't know. I just feel like as a business owner, in this day and age, I think that's really important. And you will lose business because of it if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, you'll probably retain the business of people who are like-minded, and that's fine. Yeah. Which, you know, I guess, right. And that's fine. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, for me, like, I would feel awful, you know, if I were to contract it and bring it into the home of somebody else, if I were, you know, asymptomatic. You know, let's say, and then I'm just going around spewing COVID. Like, that would not be.
Well, like, I can't even imagine having a newborn right now and being worried about all those things. And so I'm sure people appreciate just cutting to the chase of it. And like,
yeah. Yeah. And I offer it up without even like being asked, because I don't want them to feel awkward too.
So many awkward conversations, right? So many.
Yes. So as soon as I get that inquiry, like at the very bottom, I have like a little blurb, by the way, COVID precautions are these, in case you're wondering. And then, you know, if that for whatever reason deters a client, fine. You know, if you don't like that I went out of my way to share this, that's fine. You know, it's funny. I've preemptively thought of the things that I would say to people who might be like, "Oh, you don't need to wear a mask around here," or "You don't need to do this." And it's just funny and not haha funny, just, you know, like, wow, this is the world we live in funny. You know, I sit there and I just think, how would I react to, or what would I say to somebody who says something to me? And I think ultimately, like, the script I've like settled on in my head is, you know, it just makes like business sense for me to wear this mask or to do these things. Because I'm contractually obligated to fulfill these other jobs, you know, for these other clients. And so I have to be careful. I can't, especially with newborns, you know, there's a 2-week window that's ideal to get this session done. And if I were to get COVID, and then, I mean, now it's my fault that I can't get that session done within 2 weeks, maybe because I didn't wear a mask or because I didn't do these other things. And so it's like, I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to fulfill my end of the bargain for these other clients.
That's much nicer than the script I came up with in my head when somebody says it.
My answer that I've come up with is, "Oh, I have COVID."
I love it. I mean, I would maybe do that if I weren't representing my business. But when I'm wearing the hat of Tina Turner Geography,
professionalism, whatever. It's
because I'm contractually obligated to fulfill these other jobs.
Okay, so be honest. As a photographer, do you like family sessions? Because as mothers, we don't. We love what happens at the end and the product we get. But it is a pain in the ass to get everybody dressed, to plan it, out the door, to the location. And you know I have a session coming up with you in a week.
Yes,
and I still don't know what I'm going to wear. Okay.
I like family sessions. I mean, for me, okay, 95% of the time, it's fine. Every so often, I'll encounter a family that doesn't help me rein in the little ones. Those are the tough ones. What I stress out about in those situations is that I'm not going to be able to give you that many images because I can't, we got to get all your kids in the shot. I had one family, two little boys, and they were just completely exploring everywhere and nowhere near the parents. So, it's not like I could get a bunch of candid shots or anything. So I think if I'm giving advice to parents, if you're not above bribery, like a special treat or something at the end, use that to your full advantage. Feed your kids too, maybe a little snack before the session, so they don't get hangry. I think that's like a big thing that moms need and dads or parents in general just need to be cognizant of on family picture day. I do like family sessions. They can be fun. I think that having fun with your kids during the session, I mean, again, those are those big authentic smiles and those big laughs. And again, it takes the pressure off to everybody just be standing there stiff, looking at the camera and doing the posed family photo. I mean, those are great shots too. And I'll definitely try to work those in. But I think that just having fun during that time is important. But I also understand that, leading up to it and trying to figure out outfits and then like day of family stuff that happens is, it can be stressful. And if something were to like go awry during a session, most photographers at their discretion, depending on their schedule too, might offer a reshoot, if things aren't going as well on the day of. But, and obviously, it's not really feasible to offer that all the time. So, you kind of have to, again, have some discretion on when you're going to make that offer to a client. But, I think that, again, if we're just get through that initial lead up as best as you can. And then, knowing that you're going to be happy with the end product, just keep that light at the end of the tunnel. And, that's like your beacon of hope. And then, just try to have fun during your session.
It's always funny to me because
as best as possible.
I'm like screaming at everyone, get in the car, get your shoes on, let's go. Why are you pooping right now? Like, and then the car ride there is like silent because we're probably late and I'm pissed that we're late. And then we get there and I'm like, smile, everybody. Like, one bit.
So I tell all my clients, especially with mini sessions, I say, get there early. Like if you need to, like plan. plan to get there 10 to 15 minutes early if you can. I had one client 1 year, each year, each experience just adds to like my little knowledge bank that I can share with clients. But I had one client, they arrived and they had put her in her outfit before they left their home and she was still in diapers and she had like a massive blowout on the whole way to the session. So, and luckily they had brought a second outfit. So, I mean, they had that part down, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to tell clients now not to put their kids in their clothes until they get to their session. And that's coming from, I'm not a mom. So I haven't learned that from being a mom and life experience that way. And so there may be other moms out there who just haven't had that experience yet. Or if it's like, let's say you have a 3 or 4 year old and you guys haven't done family pictures yet, you're probably not going to know to think about that. So I just add little, little nuggets like that to my experience and or to my little knowledge bank, and then I share it in the emails that go out, or you know, educational posts on social media. That's like a thing lately, you know, sharing with clients, you know, how best to prepare. So yeah, I always say arrive a little early. Don't get your kids dressed until they get there. Especially if they're like eating or drinking something on the way there, because you know that's just gonna go down the front of the shirt or get on their pants. So yeah. And then if you get there a little early, it just gives everybody time to come down from that like intense lead up at home, right? Before you leave, when you're trying to wrangle everybody up, it just gives everybody a little bit of a cool off period. Just don't let your kids run around during those 10 minutes that when you get there early. Don't let them like go exploring at the photo location and get their outfits dirty, because that also happens. Yes, I know. No. Do it afterwards.
Yeah. It's so hard with little ones. I mean,
the best.
I don't even know how we got through some of the sessions we did.
I was going to say, when my kids were really little, like toddler ages, the best sessions we had were when our photographer would like go with us, and like we would. So there, you really have to kind of like follow the kids' lead. And like if they're climbing on the tree, like, okay, I guess we're all going to like be on the tree now.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a session earlier this week, and she's about to turn two. She did not want to be held at all. The outtakes are hilarious. I luckily the client, she has a good sense of humor. You know, I sent her some screenshots of some of the outtakes where every time they're trying to hold her, I mean, she's just having like a meltdown. She did not want to be held. So again, it was a lot of like exploring shots, you know, encouraging her to, we were in there's a little rock garden inside William Lamb Park. And there's, you know, just little trails you can follow through there with flowers. And so we were just exploring. But then as soon as we would try to like have one of the parents pick her up for a shot, she was like kicking and screaming and flailing, you know, saying, ow.
Oh, God.
Like, right. I know. And then they're like, ow, like, what's going on? Gosh. She's not even two yet. And she's saying, ow, every time they touch her.
Yeah. I think you have your expectations a little bit low, not lower necessarily, just different. Like, you're not going to get the posed oil painting photo where like everyone's sitting with their like hands crossed. Like when you have kids in it, it's going to be like, there's a lot of movement. So choose appropriate footwear.
Yeah. Yes. Choose appropriate footwear and location too. You know, if you had a toddler who didn't want to be held, I would not suggest a session in the city, you know, where there's cars and traffic. So I'd be like, let's go someplace open.
When you said that rock garden, I immediately was like, oh, there's at least 5 shots where that girl's got a rock in her hand. Like, you know, you're gonna have there, some of that.
Yeah, she mostly, I mean, she was good to like walk around, but most of the time it was just her in the rock garden area. And actually, I should say, it's not like a bunch of little rocks. It's like they stacked them as part of the landscaping. Oh, okay. And then, so it'll be like a raised flower bed, but the structure of the flower bed is a bunch of rocks, I guess. So not like, you know, pebbles or river rock or something.
He finds a stick everywhere he goes. So last year when we did our photo, we kept to put the stick down.
Yes. I very often ask children if the stick can help me take a picture. I'm like, oh, can I have the stick? The stick's gonna help me take a picture.
I'm pretty sure you used
that trick. I'm like, anything to get that stick out of their hand.
You used that trick with a sunflower last year when we did photos.
Did I? I don't remember all the tricks I used.
His mood automatically changes if he has to do something he's told.
Gee, I wonder where I got that.
Oh, rude, first of all. But somehow you just captured like some of my favorite pictures. Like right here is a picture of my husband with both boys that I just love. And I look at it every day.
Your husband, Matt, called Matt. I said, okay, Matt.
I forgot about that.
I know. I have not. Because there have been, there are very few times, like, where that happens. And it's like, Heather, I don't know if we told you the story, but, like, I just called him Matt. Like, I knew him. And that was just, like, his name.
Who said Matt?
That's a solid guess for a guy in their mid-30s right now. That's a very solid guess of a name.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's fun.
Every so often I'll respond to a story and be like, oh, Matt, hanging a shelf for you.
Good old Matt. Maybe Matt is what I call him when I like him. Do you have any more tips and tricks, or you know, that was like your, you kind of covered that already.
Yeah. Oh, just for, yeah, for getting kids to cooperate. Yeah. I think giving them a snack beforehand, I think makes all the difference. I mean, I get hangry. So, I mean, you know, kids, especially little ones, maybe don't have like the full vocabulary yet, you know, to express how they're feeling. And so I think if you just make sure you keep a little snack on hand, I'm going to guess maybe like 7 out of 10 times it's because they're hungry, and then just give them a little,
treat. Have a family photo that is not brought to you by a pack of Skittles in AJ's pocket.
Yeah. You know, and it, again, not being a mom, like I don't want to, that's why I try to carefully phrase it. If you're not above a little bribery or incentive, I would suggest bringing something, because I do think there are some people that are like, no, we're not negotiating. Like, I'm the parent, you're the child, you're going to do what I'm told.
And they're at the newborn shoots.
Well, good luck with that, because I always tell clients with newborns, we are on the baby schedule, matter how hard we try. You know, yeah, I mean, on that one, that baby is totally dictating how that session goes. So we're on the baby schedule.
They learn sooner than later. They learn that they're not in control of anything ever. All right. So my biggest obstacle for family photos is the outfits, because first of all, dressing myself is hard enough because I don't understand my body shape anymore. And I buy the wrong, like, it's hard enough to dress myself to go to school pickup, like, forget dressing myself for photos. So, but then you throw in having to dress my husband, who's an ogre, who needs like specially ordered clothes to fit his enormous self. And then there's the kids, and now my kids have opinions. And like, it just, give me all of your tips for dressing these people.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard when you have so many opinions when it comes to family outfits. So I think that getting the kids involved in that process, especially once they have that opinion, I think might help with, you know, just getting their buy-in on what they're going to be wearing the day of. I have a subscription service that I pay for that helps my clients choose outfits. You can buy straight from them, or you can just use it as a guide based on what you might already have in your closet. Or I'm always saying, check out Old Navy. They always have some deal going on, some special, and hopefully you can find something there. But I think that dressing kids in something that they like is half of it. And then the other half too, I think, is a little bit of a compromise on both, I think, parent side and kids side. Making sure that certain colors aren't worn during sessions, like neon colors, for example, they just do not photograph well. And depending on like the light might hit. I did one session one year and a little boy was in a neon shirt, and the way the light was hitting the neon, it was like a neon green or neon yellow, the way it was hitting him. And then the light was casting back onto his sister. And so she had this like green highlight, like under her chin and on her neck. That is, it's possible to remove it in Photoshop, but it's a lot of work. And to be honest, if we can just avoid it altogether, that's the best scenario. So I think that, again, just finding something that the kids like, that they're comfortable and happy in, is maybe the first half. And then the second half is finding outfits for parents that go well with those outfits. And by go well, I don't mean like matchy matchy, right? Because that's just very
white shirts and denim.
Yeah. Right. I know, it's so like, I don't even know what you're like 90s. I feel like that's so 90s.
Yeah. I still see people doing it though.
Yes. I had a session recently where, and it was on the beach. Yeah. I had a session recently where everybody was in dark denim pants and a black top. And I was like, you just did like the opposite of what I wanted you to do. But you know, sometimes that's easier for people. And you know, if that's not important to you for your pictures, that's okay. right? And if you're going to be happy with those outfits, then you should do it. But of course, like, I think, especially with social media now, and we see everybody's holiday pictures or their family pictures, and we see all these outfits, you know, if you're wanting that look, you have to put the effort into planning it and then actively not wear denim pants and black t-shirts or black shirts or white shirts. But yeah, so I think, again, so going back to the how to get outfits for everybody is starting with the kids and then trying to find things that work for parents based on what the kids are happy in. Or the flip side is if you don't have picky kids when it comes to their outfits, I always say dress mom first and then build everyone's outfits around that. Because I think sometimes, you know, Heather, like you said, you know, you're not sure how to shop for your body shape anymore. So I think if you focus on yourself and finding an outfit that works for you and then shaping everyone else's outfits around that, or finding options, I think I'm like brainstorming on the spot here. So like, let's say Heather, we get like an outfit for you that you love. I would pick three outfits for each kid after that, present them with those three options. Cause then you're kind of limiting that scope of where they can go and say, hey, which one do you like of these three? You're getting their buy-in and hopefully, you know, they'll be happy with what they choose. Cause they had a say in what they're going to wear. Right. And then obviously you'd want to make sure that those three options for both kids, regardless of which one gets picked from those options, would go well together. Right. And then hopefully your husband is just a good sport and will wear whatever you ask him to wear for photos in the right size, right? Yeah. In the right size.
Well, yes. Everything has to be special ordered in tall ogre sizes. So often I start with him because it's like, okay, what is available in your size that can arrive on time? And then I'll go to me. And I've always told my kids, on picture day, I get to choose what you're wearing. You can wear whatever god-awful combination of polka dots and floral you come up with, but today is my day and you will wear what I say you wear. And then I give them Skittles and they're fine.
There you go. It's all about compromise.
Because given the opportunity, we went to San Francisco to the Academy of Sciences recently, and she wore a headband, like this bow was like, it was like some gigantic JoJo Siwa bow, a pearl necklace, and like her Nike, like it was just like, oh my God, you look like a bag lady. But you know what? She loved it. And oh, she had a giant ring from a cupcake, like that big, giant, like, and I was like, that's, you like that? She's like, yeah, I look great. And I was like, okay, that's great. So like, she gets that freedom every day. So on picture day, it's my turn.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think parents, you have to just make a decision sometimes too and say, this is for me and we're going to do it. And I think for the most part, kids will follow suit too. And even, you know, like sometimes if I have little ones during the session that aren't behaving, it's so funny. I'll just be like, all right, I have to go home. If you don't do this picture, I have to go home. And it's so funny. They'll be like, no, I don't want you to go home. And then they'll kind of like straighten up and like, okay, I'll take this picture. It's like, I'm just faking, like, you know, I'm upset and I have to leave because this isn't working. And then they're like, oh, no, okay, I'll behave. It's the cutest thing. It doesn't work all the time. Like the little girl at the rock garden the other night, for example, that did not work with her. I feel like when I was like, all right, I got to go. She's like, okay, bye, bitch.
Bye.
Bye.
I was going to say, no one would be like, see ya.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't always work. I mean, there's like, I feel like a little sweet spot where that works, but you know, sometimes you just got to like lay it down.
Yeah. You mentioned Photoshop recently or just a minute ago, recently. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think sometimes people's expectations of what is possible with Photoshop is a little out there.
Well, okay, so what is possible? I mean, yeah, the options are endless, right, on what is possible. But the reality is I am a photographer, not a graphic artist. So, and I'm also not doing like magazine spreads where things need to be specially Photoshopped, right? So I had a session again recently where the little boy, two twin boys, they have athletic transition sunglasses, which transition glasses are the absolute worst from my perspective as a photographer. And the reason why, I'm going to go down this tangent really quick. The reason why is because I do all majority of my work outdoors. So if we're outdoors, it looks like you're the only one wearing sunglasses and no one else is wearing sunglasses. So that's half of it. And then with these little boys, they were these like athletic transition sunglasses. I think they play baseball, so they need them to see while they're playing baseball. And then it's just one pair of glasses and they transition. When I got to the session, I mean, they both had raccoon eyes, like tan lines. I mean, they came low under, cause like they're the kind that like hug your face tight, you know, for staying on while you're playing sports. And I was like, oh, and I mean, I was up front when I got there. I was like, oh, you have raccoon eyes. And the mom was like, yeah, can you Photoshop that out? Like, not on every picture. And thankfully it didn't photograph as dramatic as it looked in real life. So when I was going through and editing their session, I didn't notice it at all. However, their teenage son, who also plays baseball, had a tan line, probably from like a glove, or like an athletic armband, like halfway up his forearm. And I did not notice that on the day, picture day, until I was editing. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And I mean, to be honest, in that scenario, if you don't want something like that showing, you need to dress to conceal it. So that obviously, you know, the sunglass tan line, there's not much you can do about that. But the arm, I mean, he should have been in a like long sleeve, you know, button up or something that is just going to conceal it. So it's not something we even see in the pictures. But I oftentimes from women, they'll be like, okay, so you can make me look about 50 pounds lighter. Right. And that is like, it's, I've had to like perfect my response to that over the years. Now it's just playful. I'm like, oh yeah, I got you, with a wink. The reality is I don't do anything because, again, I need to honor people where they're at in their life, but also you have, and I mentioned this too in my, it's in my contract that I won't, you know, slim bodies, or if you have ill fitting clothing on, I won't fix it in Photoshop. I may make an exception here and there, but it's really at my discretion. And really it's at my skill ability. Can I even do this? I don't know if I can. I can try. But, you know, again, I hinted at this when I first started to answer the question, is that I'm a photographer, not a graphic artist. Like,
or a magician.
Or a magician. Although they very often think we are magicians. But, you know, it's on clients to wear clothes that fit. And if you need to wear the proper undergarments under your outfits, that's important too. I had one client one time, she had a zebra print bra on under a jersey knit maternity dress, which jersey knit, you know, is stretchy. It's, and then as it stretches, it becomes kind of a little bit more see-through. Ooh. And just trying to Photoshop that out was awful. And then when you overly Photoshop, she should have just bought a zebra print dress then. And then we wouldn't have even seen her bra because it would have gone well with it. But I think, yeah, making sure that you're wearing the right color undergarments, or if you need to wear shapewear, you know, invest in some for your session. Because it's a lot of time to do those kinds of Photoshop edits and have it not look cheesy or overly Photoshopped. The request, I've had a multitude of them over the years, and very often do I actually do anything. And most of the times when I deliver, they don't even say anything. So I think, again, just well, like,
there are photographers who like advertise that they do that. I've had friends who they've taken, like, they liked one kid's face in this picture, but he blinked or something in the other picture. So they like swap heads. And so there are photographers who will do that, but I don't think that's like a common practice.
I will do that, but I don't tell them that I do that. In my contract, I say I don't do it, but I have known to do a face swap like here and there. Also too, sometimes I just like overshoot and overclick and hope that on one of them, both of them were looking, both eyes were open. And obviously the larger the group you have, somebody inevitably has an eye closed, like, or not just one eye, both eyes closed. So I don't, they're just like one winking. They'll have both both eyes closed. So yeah, I will do head swaps. I put it in the contract just so that it level sets expectations that, like, I'm not here to like spend 60 hours editing your session afterwards. But yeah, I mean, I've done a face swap before, you know, with kids. And it's hard with kids trying to get, especially two toddlers, trying to get both of them looking. But also too, I think if you focus more on like those candid shots too, and if that's like the vibe that you offer as a photographer, those one looking away shots, like those kinds of shots aren't as, I guess, unwanted or undesired, because that's just part of it, right? Is that it's candid and everybody's moving. But yes, I have done a face swap or two in my life. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, that's smart enough to tell people you can do it, because
yeah. Well, I think what it does is it just can open up the floodgates to other requests. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot of time. And like, so the raccoon, going back to the raccoon eyes with the glasses, when she asked if I could Photoshop that out, I was like, well, I said, not on every picture, but let's see how the final edited images look. And if it's really noticeable, maybe on like one or two that you want to have prints made of, maybe if it's for your holiday card, or you want to have a big print made for, you know, your living room, you know, I can do that one for you, but I'm not going to do it on, by default, it's not going to be on every picture that the boys were in. It's unrealistic.
Yeah, totally.
But they also kind of like the idea of like capturing that too. Like, hey, remember that summer, like all you did was play baseball for that one team and you had these crazy tan lines. Like, I, especially as part of childhood, I think that's important to capture too.
I have a lot of clients that will say that, you know, about, again, that going back to Little Girl in the Rock Garden, they were like, we're just have to look back on these pictures during that time when she didn't want to be held.
Yeah.
And I think that people's ability to shift their perspective in those situations is so important, because a lot of the times, like, it's out of our control. And I think that you're going to be so much more happy or just not upset if you can shift your perspective to just, yeah, that was that one summer or that one time. And I had one client, she was very insecure about her weight and she didn't want to be in any of the pictures with her kids. And I said, I know you're on this weight loss journey. I said, these pictures can be you can use them to say, look how far I've come, you know, and you can say, we talked lots before her session and she was talking about her weight loss journey and how she wanted to be a good role model for her kids. And, you know, all of these really positive things. Ultimately, I think her insecurity was just too strong, too intense. And she couldn't get through the session being in all the pictures. And I think that, you know, for me, that's hard because I can't fix that for you. You know, that's something you have to work on. That's something that, you know, only you can fix with time and with, you know, the energy and effort you're going to put into working on yourself or learning to accept your insecurities or be okay with the way your body is. But, you know, it was a hard, that was, talk about the HSP stuff. That was hard because she was just so insecure. And I don't know if I imagine other photographers get to this point too, where you're just like, I don't know what to do. I've used everything in my toolkit to help, everything that I've learned up to this point. And I don't even really know what I learned from that session other than like, there's only so much I can do on my end to help people with things. So, you know, I know I'm kind of went off on a tangent for this answer, but yeah, I mean, it's hard sometimes.
So how do you know if you need a mini session or a full session?
I have a fun decision tree on my website that will help clients with this. I think the first question I would ask, if you have children, have you done pictures before? Or actually, sorry. The first question is, do you have kids under the age of 8? 8 was a little bit arbitrary for me. I think what I did is I just looked back at like the bulk of my clients and then kind of tried to guess about what age I saw like a little bit more cooperation. And then, you know, on the flip side, like at what age, like, do I see a little less cooperation, or it takes a little bit longer to get through? And so 8 is the age I came up with. And then the next question was, have you done pictures before? Now, if you have kids under 8 and you've done pictures before, I think you can totally get away with a mini session, especially because they know what to expect. They know it's only, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. We're going to be in and out, and then we get whatever mom and dad promised us afterwards. Otherwise, like if you've never done family photos before, I would suggest the full session just because it gives us more time. It gives the kids more time to warm up, open up, get to know me a little bit too, right? Because here's this like stranger sometimes, you know, in your face with the camera. And I try not to be like a super cheesy photographer because like I've seen, you know, some cheesy photographers in my lifetime. And I'm just like, I don't want to be like that lady, you know, to the kids. Like I don't know if it's like, I feel like I'm still young enough where like I want to be like seen as like kind of cool by the kids, not like the old photographer lady. So, so I think, you know, making sure you give yourselves enough time. And then also too, like for me, my mini sessions are, there's a travel limit. So from me, and so, you know, are you willing to like come closer to where I'm at, or do you want to go someplace fun? Like I have a session later this month coming up and we're going to go to San Francisco, and that would be a full session. And that gives us like an hour and a half to go to a couple of different spots within the city and explore and get different looks and backdrops. And so I think, you know, figuring out like what you want, like what is the purpose of these pictures, I think will help you narrow down whether a mini or a full works for you. But ultimately, you know, couples, you can get away with a mini session if all you want is just a picture or two for your holiday card. But I think once you add children into the mix, or even pets, if you want to bring like a dog to the session, you know, I think like looking at like, what do I want to do with these pictures? Where do I want to do them? Do I think my kids can hold it together for 20 or 30 minutes or not? And then, you know, making a decision from there.
We've always done mini sessions because asking our kids to do anything for more than 20 minutes is not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even like if I were to have a client that wanted to do pictures in the city, I mean, we could shoot for 20 or 30 minutes in the city. Granted, I mean, that's like a long trip to only shoot there for 20 or 30 minutes, but you would get that backdrop. You guys could go to Fisherman's Wharf afterwards, get some clam chowder bowls. Like, you know, you could make like a day of it. If you wanted to do that, you could. But yeah, I mean, mini sessions, I think, are great until, you know, you're looking for something more than just, you know, just a couple of great shots of your family for, you know, the annual family photo.
Yeah. Well, this was so great, Tina. Thank you for being here. Can you let our audience know where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find my website. It's www.tinaswainphotography.com, or you can find me on Instagram, same thing, Tina Swain Photography. And that's pretty much it. I'm also on Facebook. Facebook is, I don't know, like I still have it just to post. So yeah, so if you just look for Tina Swain Photography on Facebook, I'm on there too. And funny enough, I do every so often get a message on Facebook Messenger for photos.
Oh, interesting.
But not that often. All right, bye. Yeah, some people are still. So that's why I keep it. I'm like, you never know.
We'll put all those links in the show notes. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had so much fun.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at OKest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okestmoms.com.